We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. You want to open up the text lines? They are open right now, y'all. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. We'll take your feedback and see what you got. They're already starting to drop in. Bruce from Springville just texted in. He says, so we have the men for Kamala. I equate them to a group of drunks fighting over a barfly. No, that would entail people who had the strength to actually fight, man. This was the most beta male gathering I have ever seen. We'll talk about that more in a few minutes. But yeah, so I'm going to jump into this dipper here momentarily. But Democrats play race like it's just, you know, another tool in the tool chest, right? This is what they do. They need you to be divided. Because that way they can keep you split up in case they need to be able to carve people out, right? If you're not welcome, they can say, well, we've already told you you're part of this demographic. So, you know, or if they need you to jump in, they'll find a reason to intersection. This is how they work. Now, keep in mind that it hasn't been so long that, 2020 was the year when, because of George Floyd, the whole world had to sit on edge and allow whole city blocks to be burned down in some kind of, you know, white guilt retribution thing where we were just basically going to sit there and say, we're so sorry. We're sorry. We're white. Please burn our houses. That's kind of the way 2020 ran in the Democrats' mind. And they guilted people, guilted them into believing that, you know, heck, race is something we don't deal with, right? Unless it suits us. And that's where we are. How much time we got right now? I got a little bit of time. The text lines, by the way, if you want, like I said, text at 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. So, Big Rig, you got that first audio clip. This is the one that came off Twitter, the short one. We're going to play the whole clip. So, first of all, just know this. They will take race in two ways. Democrats will. First thing they'll do is they'll pander. And then what they'll do is they'll divide up. So they'll pander if it means trying to help you understand they're for you, even to the point of changing their voice. I'm about to play what may be one of the most cringe audio clips ever. When Hillary Clinton suddenly had a Southern accent, not only a Southern accent, but maybe even a, you know, stereotypical Southern accent, if you know what I'm saying. And then it flows right into, I guess Kamala's playing from that playbook because she went down that road herself yesterday. Go ahead and play it, man.
Ways tired. I come too far from where I started from.
Oh,
nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
Oh, my gosh.
You all helped us win in 2020. And we're going to do it again in 2024.
I don't
feel no.
She has never said the word for like that in her entire life until she spoke, in Atlanta yesterday. Suddenly, the woman from San Francisco had a deep Southern accent. Reckon how that works. Maybe it's because they're pandering. So step one in Democrat race-baiting politics is to pander. Race baiters and charlatans, that's what they do. If they can't divide you up and keep you out of the way, then they'll come in there and they'll try to usurp your identity and make sure you understand that pandering means I identify with you. It is all good. Here I am. Look, I even sound like you. Hillary Clinton, by the way, I will go ahead and give Kamala props. At least she didn't go down the whole Hillary Clinton side and just like morph into a different person. That was just beyond bizarre. I mean, the very idea that she didn't get reprimanded for that, but cultural appropriation, you know what I'm saying? What? Good Lord. All right, we're going to come right back. Race baiters and charlatans. How white dudes for Kamala. This is going to be a hoot. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Several text messages. Let me see what I got. John from Huntsville. He says, Phil, awesome monologue. Also, did you hear they're saying 50 million vehicle airbag inflators are dangerous? Massive recall is soon to come. No, John, I hadn't heard that. Hadn't heard it. He says, by the way, Big Rig, was that you I heard sneezing in the background earlier? Yes, it was. But I couldn't pause my monologue to say bless you. So, by the way, bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Robbie from Montana says, great monologue, Brother Phil. I'd like to know what Kareem thinks about his girl Kamala with this white men for Trump campaign. Well, Kareem's welcome to call in and tell us if that's okay. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, let's just call these white guys what they are, a bunch of racists, because apparently you have to be white to be in that group, and I'm beginning to wonder if they all identify as even being males. With the Democrat Party, it's gender fluid. Jeff from Indiana, you nailed it. George from Huntsville says, you want to see Trump's assassin running? I saw that. I did see that. There's a interesting video that just came out. Somebody in the crowd had taken. You could see Trump's assassin on the rooftop in the distance with Trump right in front of him. Yeah. James from Alabaster says, OMG, that Hillary Clinton sound effect. And now my browser decided to reboot. Why would that even happen? Okay, it's going to be a day. Right now, YouTube's janking up on us. And anyway, James from Alabaster says, OMG, that Hillary Clinton soundbite is the worst soundbite in the history of soundbites. It's way past cringeworthy. It's very sad the Dems have no conscience after pulling these kinds of stunts. I know. So, I got to ask you. If Trump went to Atlanta and gave a speech to a largely black audience and tried to do that whole thing where he says, they didn't tell me no wise for me to be no fear. I mean, if he did that, do you think for a second he would get away with it? But because it's a Democrat, you know, is what Dale Jackson always says, it's good to be a Democrat because you can just get away with stuff. So Matt Walsh had a piece, came out in the Daily Wire. I've got a copy right here. Let me grab it off my stack. It's a big old honking one. I didn't say honky. I said honking. There's a difference. But he talks about what we're seeing right now. Because, y'all, this is race baiting like bar none. This is Democrats hoping that white guilt's going to carry them through to victory right now. That's just kind of gross, to be honest with you. Because here's the thing. The vast, vast majority of America does not walk around going, well, look at that person's skin color. I see them as being not as good as me. Or I see me not being as good as them because of skin color. People don't wake up in the morning and say that. Generally speaking, no. Now, does racism exist? Yes, I'm not saying it doesn't. So for those of y'all that are ready to pounce, you liberal trolls who occasionally listen in trying to learn something, just know, I'm not going to try to ever tell you that racism does not exist. It does. But racism is not systemic, and racism is not everywhere. It's not so pervasive that we can't get by in our society. Those days have been pushed past us. It's just like looking at, there was a time when everybody smoked cigarettes. Everybody. When everybody bought the line, and the Marlboro Man was, you know, considered to be just the way to do things. I mean, just it was awesome. But over time, that has waned. Are there people that still smoke? Sure there are. Tobacco is still a big industry. But you don't see the same level of social conscious effort to make smoking okay. When I was in high school, we had a smoking pit at my high school for students. Not no more. Show me a school that has one. Why? Because it's been a cultural shift. Racism, I would say, is the same way. Does it still exist? Certainly. But there has been a cultural shift away from ever allowing it, winking and nodding at it, or participating in it in some vast way. That being said, Democrats are determined to make it a thing. Matt Walsh, he points out, he says, right now you've partly gathered that there's an enthusiasm about Kamala Harris. You've been told her campaign's off to a great start. Why could you possibly doubt that? He says, so I'm skipping around in his write-up here. He says, she has no substance or even style. At least Obama was skillful enough with flowery rhetoric that the media could pretend that he was profound and inspirational. But what is Kamala's skill, he asks? What positive characteristic are they inflating or overstating to turn her into a political sensation? His follow-up? There isn't one. Kamala is the same Kamala she's always been. So, he reminds us that back in 2020, when they recognized they had trouble, they went all in on race. Black Lives Matter. Streets burning. George Floyd. Jacob Blake. It was this weird confluence of, okay, an awful thing apparently happened up in Minnesota, and we all get to pay for it because it's everywhere, and it's not. And their strategy, though, worked. All the race hoaxes. Matt Walsh points out it was like some kind of mass formation psychosis. Suddenly you had white mayors in rural Mississippi kneeling down in front of Black Lives Matter, asking for forgiveness for having white privilege. I mean, it was everywhere. It was just ridiculous. And then here's the thing. And I love this quote. He says, Democrats, they know that race hate is once again their best option. Only this time they're being even more explicit about it by dividing Americans on the basis of race. We are now in the midst of a full-on white guilt election, he says. So he points out in the last week, because remember, Kamala hadn't been the candidate but more than a week, right? Says there was an event for black women supporters, had 40,000 women join in. Okay, it's a black women's event. Then there was an event for black men, black queer men, Asian women, and again, whites were not welcome because these were not set up for them. And I love this line. He says, I don't know if they've had a gay Aboriginal Zoom call yet or a plus-size disabled furries group, but they'll get around to it if they haven't yet. And then he says, they had a call for white women for Kamala. And they allegedly had 200,000 people on a Zoom call. Listen, there's a lot of Democrats out there. Let's not kid ourselves. There are. But have you ever seen anything like what we're seeing right now? Me asking. Have you ever seen anything like what we're seeing right now? Where it's just okay to say, okay, now listen, everybody, pay attention. Tomorrow, if you're white, you can join the campaign. On Thursday, if you're black, we'll talk to you then. Asians, we have you scheduled for next Monday. Who does that? And then in the white women for Kamala thing, they brought in this lady. I'm amazed at how much money there is in the online version of media. There's people out there that make a killing just telling you about their ham sandwich and stuff. It's just amazing. There's one woman who's an influencer who goes by Ms. Frazzled. That's her identity is Ms. Frazzled. She's a mother who's always frazzled, and she, you know, talks about her magic school bus and all the things. Anyway, bottom line is, she's white, and so she came on and she talked down to people in this, like, I'm talking to the kindergartners now. We should all recognize. And she began to do the whole thing. Let's not forget, we have privilege. I mean, it was kind of gross, but her quote was this. She goes, BIPOC women have tapped us in as white women, BIPOC women. Black, indigenous, and people of color. BIPOC. So all the BIPOCs got together apparently in their calls, and they said, okay, here's the plan. Let's go ahead and let the white women in. Oh, thank you. I appreciate you allowing the white women to participate in the democratic process. Y'all, this is beyond bizarre. It's beyond weird. And yet here we are. Got a piece on Fox News. It says Harris versus Trump 2024, the election is suddenly about race, and that's awful for our country. I'll tell you what. You know what? I might skip ahead. What we've got on time here? No, I'm going to hold it till after the break. I've got a great clip from Jesse Waters talking about some of this. I'll hold that till after the break. But the bottom line is this. We have now been treated to white women and white dudes and Asian women and black women event only. And this. When did that become acceptable? Because my recollection was the civil rights movement was to allow for homogenous society, right? It was to allow for us to be able to say, you have a place and you will not be excluded anymore. That's what people fought and bled for, right? That's what meant something when when riots in the street actually had real purpose attached to them. Civil disobedience, Martin Luther King, all the things that were, you know, grand and right, and the idea of civil disobedience appear now to be just relegated to the ash heap of history. It's okay now on the Democrat side to look people in the eye and go, well, because of your skin color, we'll talk to you today. When did this become a thing? And that's her campaign right now. They actually have a Twitter feed. I retweeted something about it this morning. They actually have a whole Twitter account right now set up just for white dudes for Kamala. I encourage you to go play with it for a while. I reposted something this morning. See if I can find my tweet before I go to the break. I reposted this morning an image of the white, you know, dudes for Kamala imagery with the whole, you know, ridiculous trucker cap. First of all, I was irritated. I was irritated that they're going to make this a real thing. But I put on there, I said, white dudes for Harris. Proof that if you can't define what a woman is and you never got picked for kickball, you can still make your privilege heard. Wow. Can't define what a woman is, but they can have a whole vent just for white women or black women or white dudes. What happens if you're gender fluid? Does that change things? I don't know. Take a break, brother. We'll take the break right now. We'll come right back. I got more on this. I got questions. I got lots of questions. Oh, my Lord. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. Big Rig, what'd you do, man? What magic button did you find over there?
I had to go into an incognito browser and do it.
An incognito browser.
Yeah.
So basically, it knew where you were coming from, so you had to come at it from a different angle. Mm-hmm. We're talking about YouTube, by the way.
I didn't even Google it either. I just tried it, and it worked.
Sweet. I like it when you come through the back door and make it work. All right. So, yeah, those of you all that like to watch the live stream on our website, it is now up. Thank you very much, The Big Rig. Couldn't do it without you. So, yeah, by the way, just keep in mind, rightsidemedia.org, that's our website. All our stuff's on there, podcasts, all the different things we do, the live stream of the show, the live audio, in case you're getting out of range on the radio, you can always pick it up there. All the things that we write. And, oh, by the way, that reminds me, I got to say this. The latest edition of the new video podcast, The Right Philosophy, is out today. So it's just out today. I took a one that I had done as a monologue a few weeks ago, Strength and Honor, and I advanced it further. I tell some stories that relate to my time overseas, but they all relate to the topic of strength and honor. It's filmed right there at my house, in my study. Really excited about the quality of it. It's gotten great reception. So, yeah, I encourage you to check it out. The Right Philosophy podcast is available on the podcast tab of rightsidemedia.org. And go check it out. I think you shall enjoy. And let me know if you see it and what you think. Marshall from Dubai. Back on topic here. I'm in number one of the triple dipper, race baiters and charlatans. Marshall from Dubai just checked in. He says, a friend of mine is super liberal. Her daughter is single, and I overheard her say to her daughter, you should try to date one of these dudes for Kamala. You have so much in common. I started laughing, and I said, those guys already have boyfriends. You got some laughter over there, man? Give me a laugh track on that. That was... that caught me. That caught me off guard. Marshall, so far you're winning the text lines. Oh, wow. Gary from Decatur says, Obama pulled off getting the white guilt vote because of his superior deceptive skills of hiding who he really was. Harris and the media are trying to follow the same game plan for her. I'm hoping that either of those lame entities won't be able to pull that off again. Yeah, no doubt. And remember, by the way, the phrase that were, oh, look, right there on the screen, bud. White dudes for Harris. It's up on the screen right now on the Fox. They say they raised $4 million on that Zoom call. I mean, listen, there's a lot of Democrats out there, but it was...
How do you raise money on a Zoom call?
I don't know.
Asking for a friend.
Pledges, I guess. Yeah, really. If you crack that code, too, let me know, all right? Gary from Decatur says, oh, I already got that one. No, John from Huntsville chiming in says, hey, Phil, I wonder if Joe Biden's the leader of the white dudes for Kamala, or if he's going to start a group called the really white dudes for Kamala. He's like, yeah, John, his is the pasty white dudes for Kamala. I'm still pretty sure. Sam from Anderson, Alabama says, I'm still laughing at the Axe body spray joke yesterday. Yes. Did we save that? Yes, that was hilarious. In fact, I meant to write that down.
I don't know who texted it, though.
Oh, man, we got to. All right. Axe body spray. We got to find a way to search our. You got a search button up there at the top of the text. Will you see if you can find that? Badger from Athens says, extra hump day points go to Big Rig. Big Rig, I'm going to go ahead and assign you any. John, if you're listening right now, any extra points that would have gone to me today have to go to Big Rig because he solved the YouTube malfunction. And he fixed the YouTube world. Just for the same. Yeah, Sam from Anderson says he thinks it was John from Harvest.
I think he's right.
Which I believe is spelled J-O-N, isn't it? John from Harvest. See if you can find that, bud. All right, so back on this topic. You know, what's amazing is Democrats can scream racism when it suits them. I don't know if you saw this, but there's an MSNBC. Oh, MSNBC. Phil, did you go to MSNBC? No, I read about it. There's an MSNBC political analyst whose name is Molly Jong-Fast. First of all, I usually struggle with trusting someone who has a hyphenated name. I can be proven wrong, but the hyphenated name is always a red flag for me. So Molly Jong-Fast argued that Senator J.D. Vance has a racist vision for America. Really? So J.D. Vance, the white guy who's running for vice president on the Trump ticket, he's a racist? Why would this be? Well, he apparently made some comments not long ago. And they've now been taken out of context, but the comments were that, here's what his statement. He says, we are effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices they've made, so they want to make the rest of the country miserable too. Let me read it to you again. J.D. Vance, quote, we are effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices they've made, and so they want to make the rest of the country miserable too. I first of all think that's hilarious. It's great tongue-in-cheek. It's worthy of perhaps even a T-shirt of its own. But Molly Jong-Fast took issue with it. Her response on MSNBC's Morning Joe was, This natalism that comes from an authoritarian playbook, right? That there needs to be more white children, right? This is about the great replacement theory, racism, right? This is what this is. So don't misunderstand him for wanting more children. He just wants a certain kind of racist thing. J.D. Vance is married to an Indian woman. He has biracial children. That's okay. It suits him. By the way, she's gone into hiding. Her MSNBC analyst, she locked down. Molly Jong-Fast is locked down her Twitter feed. We got more. I got a great audio clip. We're talking about race baiters and charlatans. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Oh, by the way, we went and dug up, Big Rig found the quote yesterday from John from Harvest. I'm posting it right now on my Twitter feed. If you're on Twitter, you can see it at Sen, S-E-N, Phil Williams. And I'm giving full credit to John from Harvest in the tweet. It is that, quote, socialism is the axe body spray of social systems. It never delivers what it promises, but people too young and naive to know better keep buying it anyway. That's just good. That's just good. What an awesome audience. That is up on my Twitter right now. All right, look, we're gonna keep toting this line here a little bit longer, all right? So race baiters and charlatans. White dudes for Harris. By the way, White Dudes for Harris has its own Twitter account too, by the way. White Dudes for Harris 2024 or something like that. And for some reason, we don't know all of it, but we apparently Dudes for Harris was actually shut down by Twitter yesterday for a period of time. It's back up now. Why would that be? Well, we do know this. The automated message said X, which is Twitter, X suspends accounts which violate the X rules. Maybe X saw a blatantly racist opportunity. to divide people. And they said, maybe not. But they're back up. Okay, they're back up. A social media account, according to Newsweek, for white male supporters of Kamala Harris was briefly suspended from X, sparking anger online. It's not clear why, but it appeared to have been restored as of early Tuesday. So that happened on Monday and came back by Tuesday morning. Pray tell, why could that be? Surely there's not any gerrymandering of the online presence of a liberal. Well, turnabout's fair play, but still, they're back up. But there was a great clip from Jesse Waters. I'm going to call for audio two here momentarily, but Big Rig. But listen, y'all, if you haven't seen any video of it, it was about one of the, and I think I've used the word cringe several times already, but I'm going to have to use it again. It was one of the cringiest moments I have ever seen. It was embarrassing. It was like the beta male convention. It was everybody out there who has, you know, ever subscribed to the idea that men need to be, you know, step down and head down and don't speak up, but we can gather and share our feelings about the president, and if it brings you to an emotional moment, you can do that too. That's what this was. Jesse Waters had a great piece on it last night. I grabbed a clip of it. Big Rig, you got that? You were good to go on that? Let's go with that audio. Jesse Waters, go right ahead.
White dudes were able to accept all the whiteness once they put it in terms they understood.
What a variety of whiteness we have here. We got the dude, we got Pete. It's like a rainbow of beige.
A beige rainbow. Okay, can we get to what it means to be a man?
The way that our economy has changed over the years has left a lot of really hardworking folks who are trying to do right by their families behind. And that happens at the same time as the myths around America that we grew up with, that we as men are expected to be protectors and providers, are going out into an economy that doesn't really allow for that.
So we can't protect or provide because of Harris Bidenomics. What should we do instead? Talk about our feelings.
The idea that men can gather to talk about how we feel. Interesting, powerful concept.
What?
And being a man means never letting Trump win again, or else we'll cry.
I'm a white dude. That much you can probably tell by now. I'm not sure if you guys can recall that feeling you had on the night of Tuesday, November 8th, 2016. I stood over my kid's bed and I wept.
I wept
because I felt like I let them down. I wept because they had the chance and we had the chance to have a female president for the first time in our lives and in the history of this nation.
That guy just admitted he cried when Hillary lost.
Yeah.
And oh my God.
Yeah.
White dudes, do you want to hear about grown men crying and sharing their feelings? Do you want to be called a racist? Vote Kamala.
There you go. Stop it right there, man.
White guys.
Just stop it. I can't hardly stand it. I mean, listen, y'all, I'm embarrassed for those people. God help us. If that was the true representation of American spirit right there.
I didn't realize there was like some actors, notable actors there.
Oh, yeah. Sean Astin was one of those voices.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jeff Bridges, the dude from Big Lebowski, he was on there. I like Sean Astin. Sean Astin played Rudy.
Yeah.
Does he think for a second that Rudy would be like, oh, you know, we're sharing our feelings on a big Zoom call?
He didn't really say much, though. He just goes, interesting concept.
Yeah. Still, he was there.
Yeah, he was there.
He was logged in as part of the crew.
Yeah.
He was a featured speaker. And listen, the whole thing is just, you look at it and go, what the heck, y'all? Where is your man card? Turn in your man card like right now. In fact, look at that. You know what? Badger from Athens just said, pull his man card. So the whole thing is not just cringe, it's sad. If what we're seeing right, if Pete Buttigieg is going to wind up being the role model, you know, The grown man who took 60 days for maternity leave because he and his partner adopted a child and he pretended he was breastfeeding. The whole thing is just, is like, God almighty, please spare us. And yet that's what you, if you want to be in touch with your feelings and recognize that men should desire a woman president, and if you don't get it, you'll cry over your child's bed at night. Listen, you don't deserve much at that point. That is not how we were made. That is not how we were wired. Ken from Rimlap just texted in and said, I cried the night Trump won. They were tears of joy. John from Harvest has checked it in. He said, OMG, those men in the Jesse Waters clip are why we can't have nice things. By the way, he says, thanks for the plug. I might need to get Twitter now. Yeah, you should, brother. You're out there. You're starting trending right now. Listen, here's the bottom line. I'll move on to a new topic here in a moment. The Democrats are okay with being racist when it suits them. They will call you a racist if they don't like your other agendas. They will co-opt the idea of racism when it suits their agendas. There is no way in the world that any self-respecting Republican would ever go, you know what? How about this? Let's have some campaign merch, and you know, we'll sell white dudes for Republicans, and call that a real thing. I mean, we may have minority outreach and we might, you know, go to events where we recognize the crowd, maybe one demographic over another. But the idea of setting up Zoom calls and saying, this one is for white people. In fact, this one's for white women. And this one over here, we're going to allow Asian men. And in this case over here, we're going to wind up, I think we're going to do, which one's next? What have we not done yet? Let's do obese handicapped furries in that one. It's going to be awesome. Stop it. This can't be a campaign that they win on white guilt, all right? They can't use racism as their tool like this. It's one thing to say you're not racist and you oppose racism. It's another one to say you oppose racism and then you use racism as a tool. And that's what they're doing. Do not be fooled by this. Just saying. And by the way, I still like Sean Astin and, you know, Rudy, but I got a little tired of him and Samwise Gamgee. I mean, he was wearing me out. Just be the guy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And by the way, Butch from Athens has texted in. He says, nah, he was the guys who said, Sean, he says, Sean Astin is the dude that wept over his daughter. Oh, and did you chime in? Yeah. He said, Sean Astin is the dude that wept over his daughter's bed. No, that was somebody else. Thank you, Big Rick, for squaring him away. Yeah. That was some guy named John Pad or something like that.
Yeah, he does a lot of voice acting.
Oh, good.
He's in some TV shows too.
But. Oh, good. Yeah. John from Huntsville says, Phil, you just lost massive points for saying Pete Buttigieg and breastfeeding in the same sentence. Come on, man. I just ate lunch, he says. And then Jeff from Indiana says, this is what happens whenever you shut down mental institutions and release them out into the public. We have a serious shortage of psychoanalysts and psychiatric wards. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. It's time to go into a round number two. Less ridiculous, more serious. We're going to talk about the Trump shooting. Never forget. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.